Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Wednesday, February 17th, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 37, the fourth paragraph, that starts with, "Our behavior is as absurd." Reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Alice G., 12 Traditions, Dory P., Reader of the Text, Karen K., and Deb E. will be our page 164 reader and backup reader this morning. The reference number for Tuesday, February 16th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 16,414. And for this morning, Wednesday, February 17th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 16,420. That's 16420. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Kaylee R., and Leslie M. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Alice G. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Alice.
Good morning, all. Alice G., recovering compulsive overeater in Wisconsin. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to serve. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Alice G. And I'll now ask Dory P. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Dory.
Good morning. Dory P. recovered for today in Georgia. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve our path.
Thank you so much, Dori P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speaker's, should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 37, the fourth paragraph. It starts with, "Our behavior is as absurd." We're going to be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I will now ask Karen Kay to begin reading. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Dawn, and thank you for your service, and thank you for all the readers and everybody on the line today. Our behavior is, I'm Karen Kay for Recovered Compulsive Eater from Syracuse, New York, and my credits don't transfer. Our behavior is absurd and incomprehensible with the respect to the first drink, and as that of an individual with passion, say, for jaywalking. He gets a thrill out of skipping in front of fast-moving vehicles. He enjoys himself for a few years in spite of the friendly warnings. Up to this point, you would label him as foolish, a foolish chap, having queer ideas of fun. Luck then deserts him, and he's slightly injured several times in succession. You would expect him, if he were normal, to cut it out. Presently, he is hit again, and at this time, fractured his skull. Within a week after leaving the hospital, a fast-moving trolley car breaks his arm. He tells you he has decided to stop jaywalking for good. But in only a few weeks, he breaks both his legs. Well, I like to call this chapter more about relapse. And when this book was written, they typically use one word to stress a point. Bill W. went, and all the people that were involved with this book specifically use one word to say the same thing. But again, at the beginning of the book, they're using it again, incomprehensible demoralization. And here again, we have in this paragraph, incomprehensible. I mean, it's going to happen again. You just cannot believe that it's happening again. And this is obviously out of the park example, but for me it was before I came into OA, because I was given the gift of abstinence on July 5th of 2019, you know. But before then, they'd be like, well, you know, maybe I'll just, you know, I'll go to this diet club and I'll go to the gym and I'll do this and then I'll lose weight, and then I Then I'm going to start running. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start running, and I'm going to do 60 miles a week. Only later in life to have really ruptured my Achilles tendon, and I had to get surgery done on my right foot. So that really didn't quite work. And then, well, you know, maybe I'll just do sugar-free creamer in my coffee, and we'll try that. Or I'll only eat sugar-free candy, and maybe that might help. But that doesn't work because sorbitol really is an evil enemy of my body and the insanity of trying to do different things. And then I fall on my face, literally fall on my face, drunken food. And these are all these beautiful examples of all these different ways of, I like to call it, dancing with my disease. Before I came into OA, I was dancing all around it. I opted up to 284 pounds. I only had one pair of jeans that fit me. Actually, they were clam diggers. And I looked in the mirror, and I didn't know what I saw. And, you know, I'm not that weight anymore, and it's not about weight to me. It never was about the food. It was about my relationship with life, and I like to call this obscure, incomprehensible thinking. I have a thinking disease that thinks that I can try to eat safely blank, or I could have a ho-ho today, which I don't have those thoughts anymore because God has removed those, or I can call this person because they're not healthy for me. You know, that dancing, the thinking, and then the eating, I'm just so glad that dance, that waltz is gone in my life, and I love A Vision for You. I love OA. You guys have saved my life. And I'm just so grateful to be abstinent and being able to help others. I don't believe in the word in sponsoring, but we're all co-travelers in this program. And I love you all, and you have a blessed Wednesday. With that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Karen Kay. I'll now be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
I would, Elaine.
Cynthia C.
Elaine.
Cynthia C.
Okay, we have Elaine. And what's your initial, Elaine?
G.
Okay, Elaine G. Cynthia C.
Deb E.
Who else would like to share?
Darlette P.
Okay, we've got Elaine G, Cynthia C, Deb E, and Darlette P. Let's start with this lineup. Oh, go ahead, Elaine, share with us this morning, please, and let us know where you're calling from.
Thank you very much. I haven't been to Vision for You for a long time, you know, but people have been telling me to go back to it, you know. Anyway, my food has been terrible, but thank God today I woke up abstinent, thank God, and what a difference. But anyway, about the incomprehensible, it seemed like all these fruits that I would eat, this food I would eat, would be sweet, and it would affect my thighs, where I would get these terrible cramps in my thighs. And talk about incomprehensible, I would do this night after night, you know, eating this fruit. And so finally, I said to myself, what am I doing to myself? You know, it was the sugar, you know, the sugar in the fruits. And anyway, like... every night, compulsive eating, you know. And this new sponsor I got told me, you want to go to the gym, but what about eating dinner, you know? And I thought to myself, yeah, first things first, you know, and I will go swimming another day. But talking about... I was worrying about my sister, that they can't find out what's wrong with her, my twin sister, because she keeps having temperature for 2 weeks. And meanwhile, I've been compulsively eating over it. And how insane is that? You know? How is that helping anything? But anyway, you know, then letting my disease take hold of me and tell me it's okay for you to eat that, instead of praying to God to help me not compulsively eat, help me stay abstinent, you know. And, I think I really surrendered already. Surrendered to this disease after so much, you know, a couple of years of back and forth of some abstinence, then compulsive eating, back and forth, you know. And also, that's why I'm at this meeting. Thanks.
Thank you, Elaine G. And now, Cynthia C., will you share with us and let us know where you're calling from, please?
Thank you very much. This is Cynthia C. from Newton, Massachusetts. Thank you so much, moderator, for your service and for everybody who makes this meeting happen today and every day. This paragraph was me. Before recovery, this was me. My behavior was absurd and incomprehensible, and I kept doing the same things over and over and over and over again. And I had experience in 12-step programs, but I just did not want to go back to a 12-step program for my food. I just wanted to be able to do it on my own. And as a jaywalker had it, I kept failing. I couldn't do it. And I'm so grateful that, you know, I've been in recovery now for over 3.5 years. And I work the steps every single day, And I trudged through that fourth step and I dug deep into all the steps. And I spend usually an hour every morning doing my 11-step prayer and meditation and self-inventory. And I have to say, it works. My mother died last week. My mother died last Wednesday. We buried her on Friday. And I am sitting Shiva for her this week. It's the Jewish week of mourning, where you just are really focusing on the grief. And if it were my will would be putting, you know, some whiskey in my milk. My will would be, I would be face first. Like, there's a part of me that would be very happily face first in pints and pints and pints of Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Like, you know, that is where my will wants to go. And I'm so grateful that I have a basis, that I have a foundation in the steps, that I work the steps like my life depends on it, because I feel like, you know, it's been lifted. Like, I'm not relying on my will today. And we've had a lot of family issues, a lot of family problems with my mom's end of life, with my siblings. My family is not in recovery at all. And sort of planning end of life and funeral arrangements with some of my siblings has been very, very painful. And they're not particularly healthy people. And I have... I've been somewhat of the focus of their angst. I've gotten the focus of their anger, and I'm so grateful that I have 10 steps to help me work through my resentments and to let them go, to turn it around and not have it be all about me, but, you know, to step out of this absurd and incomprehensible behavior, to step out of it. And to have the 12 steps, like I wanted like 10 steps to how to live life. Like, I grew up in a totally dysfunctional family. Everybody used alcohol and drugs and food to get through every day. That was our crutch, you know, and I wanted 10 steps, but instead, you know, it's not 10 steps, it's 12 steps. And each of those steps is incredibly important. And the amount of support and phone calls and outreach I've gotten from people in program is tremendous. I'm just really grateful. Thank you all.
Thank you so much, Cynthia C., and we're so sorry for your loss. Deb E., will you share with us now, followed by Darlette P., and then I'll be opening up the lines again. Good morning, Deb.
Good morning, Dawn. This is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And, you know, in my early years in the OA of reading the big book, I didn't understand what this paragraph and this story about the jaywalker was doing in here. You know, I didn't thought it was just some silly story that didn't make sense and couldn't see how it applied to me. But we talk often in OA about looking for the similarities and not for the differences. And once I take the differences out, right, I wasn't a jaywalker. I didn't get hit by cars. I didn't do all that stuff. But boy, did I do all the same behavior just with food inserted in there and binging, you know. And it actually ends up describing me quite well if I substitute those words. And what I did with food was absolutely absurd and incomprehensible to a normal eater. You know, it only makes sense. Only my OA fellows can understand how I could be in that crazy behavior that makes no sense to other people. And he gets a thrill. You know, I got a thrill out of planning my binges and those first bites, you know, before falling into oblivion and despair. The thrill never lasted. It was only like the, you know, anticipating the binge and the very beginning of it. And the word behavior in that first sentence reminds me that my addiction is not limited to my history with food and the allergy of the body and obsession of the mind that I experience as a compulsive overeater. I behaved in absurd and incomprehensible ways while in the food, in addition to what I did with the food. You know, the risks I took with my life, the lack of judgment, the selfishness and self-centeredness. I need to remember every day that for me, being in the food is also about the disconnected, numb person I become if I pick up that first bite. And then, you know, friendly warnings. I received friendly warnings, you know, not about the food because no one knew about it. It was always in secret. But there were friendly warnings about the behavior I was in, you know, but I thought I knew better. I thought I didn't have to listen to those people. And where's the other? And here, you would expect him if he were normal, right? Like, it seems so simple. Like, right, if we were normal when it comes to food, then, you know, we could be expected to behave in a normal way, right? But the problem is once I take that first bite, I can't be expected to behave in a normal way. And that last sentence, he tells you he has decided to stop. You know, how many times did I say that? Like, this time, it's going to be for real. Like, I'm really going to stop this time. I'm not going to binge ever again. It's a promise, you know, all of those, like, empty promises I made to myself.
Time.
And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Deb E. And I'm going to remind you, we're on page 37, the fourth paragraph. It starts with, our behavior is as absurd, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Now we're going to have Darlette P. share, and then I'm going to be opening up the lines again to take more names. Good morning, Darlette.
Good morning. This is Darlette P., a recovered compulsive overeater. I want to thank everyone putting this on today and everyone on the line. I am grateful for the program and to be part of the fellowship today. And thank you for allowing me to speak. I was one of those repeaters that went back over and over again and did the same thing. And I didn't see that it was sick thinking. I didn't see that, you know, I just kept going back doing the same thing over and over. And I don't know how many times I said to myself and other program people, I want what I want when I want it. And I realize now that when I get in the eyes, I'm in trouble. I need to get out of that and get back to the we and work this program. Because without we, without us, without my fellows, I can't work this program and stay abstinent. I also need my higher power, my God, who I choose to call God, with me on a daily basis and to be able to turn everything over to him. Because if I don't, then I'm going to slide backwards. And I know for every three steps forward, we take one step back. But that's so we learn to go forward. If we don't continue to work the program and follow the steps, 1, 2, 3 every day and 10, 11, and 12, then we're not working the program. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Darlette P. And I'll now be opening up the lines to take names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Page 37, fourth paragraph, starts with, our behavior is absurd. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Michelle R.
Michelle R. Was that Patricia Ann? And Patricia,
yeah,
Ann, what's your initial of your last name?
M.
M. Oh, Patricia M. Okay. All right. And who else would like to share?
Ronnie B. in Missouri.
Ronnie B.
Melanie L.
Melanie L.
This is Ronnie B. in Missouri.
Okay, I've got you, Ronnie. Okay, let's start there. We have Michelle R., Patricia M., Ronnie B., and Melanie L. Will you share with us, please, Michelle R.?
Hi, I think you just called for me. I was unmuting.
Yep, I sure did. Michelle.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This is Michelle R. in Ohio, and I very much relate to this paragraph as I'm just recovering from a recent binge. And there's no reason, there's no excuse. I had good ones, I thought, but there is none. This fella, in my experience, this person kept asking for this trouble. In my experience, I definitely don't want it. I work hard not to relapse. I work hard to do the right thing. But the insanity, it kicks in, and the incomprehensible urges. I am so grateful that I have this program. I try every day, and with my sponsor's encouragement also, every single day I do a gratitude list. And I did one this morning, and we just, you know, I am pre-diabetic. I have sleep apnea. I'm definitely obese, not morbidly, but I am obese. I am uncomfortable. I know this about myself. I've watched two of my best friends lose their loved ones that I also loved from complications from diabetes. We all know that we're hurting ourselves, you know, but obviously our intellectual mind doesn't kick in when we have a disease that's haunting us. But we all just have to realize we're all different. We're all here for each other. And I just want to say how grateful I am for this amazing program and the people in it, my home group, my sponsor. And please, everybody, be encouraged. Reach out to people. I have difficulty with 10 steps, which is a major part of my problem. I'm intensively working on that right now. And I wish everybody a very, very healthy journey and only the best, and stay safe. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Michelle R. from Ohio. Now, Patricia M., will you share with us, please?
Yes, this is Patricia Ian M. From Florida. I can definitely relate to the man in the hole, and all I know is that over the years I go down that same road for a lot of reasons, not just because I'm listening to my disease, and it is because I listen to other people, and I haven't been sticking around the rooms, and I haven't been doing 10 steps, and I haven't been doing what I'm understanding is God's way of helping me to get this arrested. And I have to accept that I have a disease, and I have to accept the solution. And that's where I'm at now. I've accepted that, but I definitely can relate to the man keep going down the same road, keep listening to those people that are telling me, you haven't had that in how long? Of course you can have it. You know, and then, of course, my disease says, oh, you haven't had that in so long, you can have it. And see, you didn't crave. Look, it's been 3 days since you had that. You haven't craved anything. See, you know, so for me, I have to stay around the rooms with people that are like-minded, that have the same results, the same behaviors, the same thinking, the same allergy, the same, all of it. I have to do that. And I have to do the deal. I can't do this on my own, and I can't listen to people that are not like me. See, I want to be like other people. So my friends that don't have this disease, they can eat what they want. Well, I want to be like them. Well, no, I have to be around the rooms of Vision for You that tell me my truth. That's my truth. And these guys, we're all different, you know. Anyways, with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Patricia Ann M. Now, Ronnie B., will you share with us, followed by Melanie L., and then I'll be opening up the lines again. I wanted to remind you we are on page 37, the fourth paragraph, starting with, our behavior is as absurd. So, Ronnie B., will you share with us? Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for everything and everyone who has shared. I'm Ronnie, compulsive overeater in Missouri. I am. This is one of my favorites in the big book because, you know, it's the definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over, hoping for a different result. And I don't know that I hoped for a different result. I firmly believed I would have a different result. Like this time, I can buy whatever it happens to be and eat a couple, which turns into a sleeve, which turns into the remainder of a package, which then I tell myself, well, I won't buy those again. Well, first of all, I did, and then a whole lot of other stuff. But I need to look at the words. If this person, I want to say, reacted normally, I would look at that and say, oh, my God, who am I kidding? And today I do say that. I absolutely do. I'm like, because when I get frustrated during my recovery, when I get frustrated, frustration is like my cue card to go and eat something. And so for the last several days, I'm dealing once again with the IRS, even though I've submitted everything they've asked for, and they said there are no taxes owed. This was a mistake on their part. Everything is okay. And then a month later, a new person sends me the exact same letter. And so when that stuff happens, I don't accept life on life's terms. I want to have the fight. I want to talk to someone there, and I want to say, why doesn't the right hand know what the left hand is doing? I want to fight life on life's terms. And when I get into that, I want to get into the food. And, you know, like I just got that deja vu moment. It's like, but I know, I'm not fooling myself today to say if I walk down the street, I can either fall in a hole or maybe I'll walk around or I'll crawl. No, no. I absolutely know if I pick up the food today, it's with the knowledge. And so knowledge can be important in this program. It's with that knowledge of, okay, but if you pick it up, you can no longer tell yourself this was an accident or, oh, my God, what happened? And, yeah, I have to be a little hard on myself. I can't say anymore, oh, my God, how did that happen? Because I'm quite aware of how it happened. What I can do is make a phone call. And that is something my sponsor and I have been talking about. You know, I'm in the program now, I don't know, 14 or 15 months and doing well, you know, really doing super well. But when this stuff happens, you know, it tests me. I get tested. So we've been talking about my sponsor and I making more phone calls, working, looking at the surrender Hi. School more often. Thank you. I'll wrap up. So I have tools to use when I get frustrated, and it doesn't have to be food. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ronnie B. And now Melanie L., will you share with us? And then I'll be opening up the lines and taking more names. Good morning, Melanie. Please share where you're calling
Hi.
From.
Hi, this is Melanie L. from Virginia. And I can very much relate to this paragraph. And I've been in program several years, but really only had a passing familiarity with the big book in the beginning. And I remember the first time I read this paragraph thinking, what the, that does not have anything to do with me or with my stuff. And now, thank God, I read it and I go, oh, yeah, that's completely me. That's exactly me. That is, I have engaged for almost 48 years in completely insane behaviors. And I've learned in this program that I don't have, you know, as has been shared, I don't have a food problem. I have a thinking problem. I have a problem with the buildup of everyday emotions and all these things that I don't even have words for still, but I'm learning them. And I'm learning, you know, the insanity extends to not only I'm going to do this thing that I've been doing over and over again, and hey, maybe it'll be different this time, but also it extends to my unwillingness to try the things that are recommended to me by people who have recovery. And so I have surrendered to that, and I have, you know, I have surrendered to the idea that the solution, that there is a solution, that it is in this big book, and that I can have it if I work the 12 steps, and I have to be willing to try new things. And so yesterday was actually my first vision meeting, and I, at the end of the meeting, I don't know what came over me, but I said I was new, and 15 people called me yesterday. I'm still returning phone calls, and I'll return every single one of them. And today, I don't know what I was doing, but I said I would share, and I have to keep trying to do these things. And I have prayed like 6 times during this meeting, and those are new behaviors, but I think they are the opposite of insanity for me. Anyway, I'm really grateful to be here and grateful for this meeting, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Melanie L. And we are on page 37. The fourth paragraph starts with, "Our behavior is absurd," and we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only, talking about the jaywalker. Who would like to share with us this morning? And although I did want to say that we value your experience tremendously, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us?
Hi, it's Brona D.
Brona D?
Yes. Roslyn C.
Roslyn C.? Who else would like to share? I could take 2 more names. Okay, let's go ahead and have Brona D. share, followed by Roslyn C. Good morning, Brona.
Hi, good afternoon. It's Brona D., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern Ireland. And really good to connect with you all this afternoon. And I remember reading The Jaywalker for the first time, and I just thought, who would do that? Who could be so crazy? And the penny did drop by the end of the paragraph that was me. I was exactly that person. And, you know, I did that with my eating over and over again, going back, seeking the solution and knowing the pain that it caused me. And latterly, I've done it with my thinking, you know, relying on my own thinking, relying on my, I can do this, I can figure this out, I can get my way out of this. And really and truly, you know, the surrender came that, and as my higher power, God, of my understanding, reminds me, we can do it. You know, my God comes into the situation and we can do it. And it's just interesting today, I was struggling to decide where I should be or what I should be doing at the weekend. And I'm asking God for help. And the song that I hear is, "I'll go anywhere you want me." And that's it. That's my answer. You know, I'll go where you want me today, God. You know, that's the solution. Surrender into my higher powers will show me where I can be of service and help others. So I'll pass there. And thanks for your service.
Thank you so much. All the way from Northern Ireland. Thank you so much, Brona. And Rosalyn, will you share with us now, please? Good morning, Rosalyn.
Good morning. This is Roslyn C. from Ohio. And I was so encouraged about the last lady that shared and said we have to do differently to get a different result. But and it inspired me to share. But when I look at this paragraph and I see that the repetition of doing the same thing over and over and expecting the same results is something that I've done over the years in and out of the room, but what stands out is you would expect us to know that this doesn't work. You would expect us to know that if we do this again, we're going to get the same result, but doing it over and over again, expecting not to have the out of control experiences that we had, or just the conditions that we go through, it's just, as it says in here, it's just incomprehensible. It's unbelievable but we do it over and over and over again. And so, I too, when I read the Jay Walker, it just pinpointed my relapses over and over again. And it also is directed me back to, I can't do this with just within myself. I need the group. I need the people that understand and have walked this road to a happy destiny and have become recovered, because we cannot do this on our own. So thank you for allowing me to share. I thank everybody that's on the call that encourages everybody every day. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Rosalind C. So we're on page 37, the fourth paragraph, Our Behavior is as Absurd, talking about the jaywalker this morning. Who else would like to share with us? I can take a couple names.
Chris G.
Chris G.
Leslie M.
Leslie M.
Donna
okay.
T.
And we'll, was that Donna T? We'll put you on, Donna. Oh, Shauna.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll put you on if we have time for you, Shauna.
Thank you.
Cool. Yes, good morning, Chris G. Share with us, please, and let us know where you're calling from, if you would.
Yes, I'm calling from Tennessee, and I appreciate everybody that has shared and everybody that has contributed to this meeting. And I remember the first couple of times I read the Jay Walker paragraphs, it really didn't make sense to me. It was hard to understand. But looking at it today, the words that jump out at me is, he was a long way from admitting he could do nothing about it himself. And also, the idea that he would, that understanding this would keep him sober for the rest of his life. And where I'm at now is knowing that I can't fix me by myself, and that I have to connect with my higher power every single day, like steps 1, 2, and 3, every single day. I have to do step 11 and connect with my higher power. I can't have one connection fix me for the rest of my life. It just doesn't work that way. And with the help of all of you and being in the fellowship, we can do this together. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Chris G. And now we'll have Leslie M. share with us, followed by Sean P. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, Dawn. Thank you so much for your service. This is Leslie M. I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. And, you know, when I, as others have said, I remember reading often that, this Jay Walker story and thinking, no way, no way. And now, yeah, I'm the Jay Walker. You know, for how many years? This year I will be in OA for 31 years, and shortly I'll be celebrating 3 years of entire abstinence, which is absolutely fantastic and beyond my wildest dreams. But for those first 28 years, I was a jaywalker. I just kept doing it over and over and saying I wasn't gonna, but I just kept doing it over and over again, because once again, you know, one of the things that I had to remember when I actually did get entirely abstinent was that this is a spiritual program, is a spiritual malady that requires a spiritual solution. And I just continued to think, as the jaywalker does, that I could take care of it myself, that there was something else I was supposed to be doing. And if I could figure that out, then I could get it. You know, it would all would be solved. And, you know, but I've learned that is not the case, that, you know, and that's what this book points out, is that I need a power greater than myself, that I don't have the power to do this. I have to allow that power. And it still to this day seems very counterintuitive to me that, you know, if I gave up, if I surrendered entirely, then it would work. But that's exactly what happened. I surrendered entirely, and I learned how to say yes, ma'am, instead of yes, but, because I no longer had to be that terminally unique person, that one, oh, yeah, but that doesn't apply to me. It all applies to me. And I'm so grateful to have found that out, you know, because before that, you know, the food was in charge of my life. And when I finally realized that, that was when I finally could say, okay, I'm going to just follow these directions and see what happens. And when I actually followed the directions, it actually worked. And so I'm very grateful. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Leslie M. And now, Shauna T., will you share with us, please, and tell us where you're calling from?
Yeah, hi, this is Shauna T., and I'm from California. Thank you so much for your service. I'm grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater just for today. And I love this paragraph. I hated this paragraph when I first came in to program because I or when I first got introduced to the big book, because I did not understand it at all. I, like everyone else has said, how does this apply to me? And blah, blah, blah. And then over and over, I'd find myself, you know, I'm a teacher, and then I'd be in the staff room after school when no one was there, like a little rat raiding through the cupboards or raiding through this and that. And then my solution would be, oh, I'm going to take the day off tomorrow. I'm going to exercise at the gym, and I'm going to, you know, do this diet and this and that. And then lo and behold, something in life would happen, and that emotional buildup would happen, and I'd be, you know, binging my brains out the next night or finding myself in the staff room the next day at school. And it's like, did I relate to the jaywalker? Oh, no. But not until I found a recovered big book sponsor, you know, who I was just willing to hear. You know, I was ready, I was willing, and I was defeated. I had to run out of all my ideas and set aside everything I think I knew. And my thinking just got in the way. Like I had to stop trying to figure out, well, how is this going to work? How is this higher power? I can't trust the higher power. I've never been able to trust anything. And it's got to be me. And I just did what she told me to do. And I honestly just kept doing the next right thing, no matter how uncomfortable I was. And by God's grace, I've been recovered for 5 years. And prior to that, I'd been in OA for over 15 years. And I'm just grateful. I'm so grateful I have a solution today. I have these steps. I have you guys. Most of all, I have my higher power. And that's what I got. So thank you, and thank you so much for your service.
Thank you so much, Shauna T. from California. We do have time for one more share. So there's someone else who hasn't shared in the last few days who would like to share with us this morning. Is there one more person out there who would like to share?
Ubi?
Pardon?
Doobie.
Oh, Doobie. Very good.
No. Hi, I'm Sue B, and I am from...
Oh, Sue B. I'm sorry. Thank you. Sue B, go ahead. And share where you're calling from, if you would, please.
Hi, I'm Sue B, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from British Columbia, Canada. And I just... this is my second time online with Vision for You. Thank you for your service, Dawn, and thank you to everybody here. I just want you to know that A Vision for You has saved my life because I've been in OA for 20 years. And the last group I was in told me that I couldn't recover and that I could just get better at going back out. So then, you know, really what they were telling me is that I would be like the jaywalker for the rest of my life, but I'd be able to at least come home to OA at the end. And I wasn't able to, like, I couldn't do that. And then I found out that that wasn't the case. And I just wanted to let you all know how grateful I am for the message that's carried by this circle of people that we can recover and do recover if we use the principles and the 12 steps, and that my life does not have to be like that of the jaywalker anymore. But boy, it was for many years. So I just wanted to say thank you to you all. And I am on the phone list. It's Subi from Canada. So, and this is my second time at this meeting. Thanks. Bye.
Well, thank you so much, Sue B. from Canada, and thank you to everyone who shared. What a beautiful meeting. We're now going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Deb E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then. Good morning, Deb.
Good morning. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.